Hello, this is Monocle Reads, and I'm speaking to Ben Arthur. Ben has a podcast called Songwriter, which weaves songs with interviews and stories of writers. These are not just ordinary songs, they are answer songs. They're written in response to characters and ideas of some of the greatest writers of our time, including Roxane Gay, Joyce Carol Oates, and others. Musicians have included Ted Leo, Emily Hope Price, and Byron Isaacs of the Lumineers. Ben himself is a songwriter and an author. He's released 9 albums and 2 books. Welcome to Monocle Reads, Ben.
Thanks so much for having me.
It's so exciting to have you here. And I'm aware of your work because you've worked with several writers that I know. So let's start off with finding out exactly what an answer song is.
So all art responds to other art in a way. Answer songs are just a little more specific. So a well-known one would be Sweet Home Alabama, which was a song that was written by Lynyrd Skynyrd in response to a song by Neil Young. They were, you know, sort of theoretically mad at him for writing a song called Southern Man, which talked about racism. And, you know, that song became a major hit. But songs that you know, you might not know, are answer songs. So, again, very American. But Woody Guthrie's This Land Is Your Land was a response to Irving Berlin's God Bless America. He was sort of saying, no, that's not my vision of America. My vision of America is like this. And the Songwriter Project is just sort of a way of curating that process and saying, okay, here's a piece of work. What's your response to it? Write something that you that springs out of that. And that doesn't have to be, you know, a direct response. It doesn't have to be a yes-no answer, you know what I mean? But it can just be something that's inspired. Mm. So sometimes you get songs that are very specific. Jonathan Lethem did a song called Vivian Ralph, or a short story called Vivian Ralph for us. And Cindy Lee Berryhill wrote a song that was very specifically, you know, responding to the characters and sort of retelling the story. But then you have other folks like, say, Vienna Tang, who wrote a song that was about the trickiness of jingoism and responding to Kurt Anderson's Fantasyland about America's love affair with lying to ourselves.
It sounds an extraordinary thing. And in fact, I say sound, we can actually listen to it.
Sure.
Now, one of the big writers that you've worked with is Booker Prize winner George Saunders. He won for his book Lincoln and the Bardo. But here, you've actually worked with him a couple of times. But in this one, you're responding to a short story.
Yeah, one of my favorite short stories is called The Semplica Girl Diary. Is from George Saunders' 10th of December. And he and I were emailing. He popped up on my Facebook and it said, maybe you know him. And I said, I would really like to, and wrote him essentially a crush note. And as it turns out, he's a songwriter as well as, a writer. And that's the sort of secret sauce of a lot of these interactions, is that a lot of the folks who write fiction and prose are secretly fascinated with songs. And a lot of the folks like me who write songs are very fascinated with literature. So we started this, you know, lovely dialogue about, you know, how you speak in music and how it's different than how you speak in literature. And that eventually led to us collaborating on a couple of songs, including this one, which is about a sort of terrifying dystopia where humans from, you know, third world countries are used as lawn ornaments. And he came up with the bridge. And it was a joy to work with him because he's such a... I said to someone recently that I felt like it's sort of emailing with Ernest Hemingway. I feel like he's, you know, at that sort of extraordinary level. Mm. And so it's a privilege, total privilege.
Let's have a listen.
In future, will there be planes tracing trails in the sky? Regretful fathers yelling, I'm this testy, stressed out guy. Have to do better, be kinder, start now. Oh, my only memories will be how.
So that was your response to the Semplica Girl Diaries, which I think in full on the New York Times.
The Semplica Girl Diaries was published in the 10th of December as the book, but also The New Yorker, I think, has it posted if anyone wants to read it.
Right. Now, let's talk about something you said earlier. You said the different ways that art responds to music and to literature. Just unpack that for me.
So a novel, it seems to me, is about sort of a flowering and a growth of an idea. And in many ways, it feels to me like songs are the opposite, which is to say they're compression. And you're trying to get a very large idea into as small a package as possible. And so the process of doing that is different. And I can only say that it's very complicated to explain how it feels right as an artist. But in many ways, and this was the thing, one of the things that George and I were emailing about, in many ways, they have a similar sense that when it's almost terrible, it might be great. And that's the sort of trickiest bit of being an artist, it feels to me sometimes, is that the really breathtaking stuff is just right on the edge of terrible. And sometimes it is, and then you have to discard it. But then when it's not, it's almost as if art is a circle, and most of it is just in the gauzy middle, and it doesn't matter. But when it really is at its peak of extraordinary, sometimes it's almost just right on the edge of awful.
Let's have a listen to something that's very different.
Okay.
So this is a musical response to music. And we're talking here the Rolling Stones.
Yeah. So as I was starting this project and before the Songwriter podcast had started moving in earnest, I did an album called Call and Response. The Sempaka Girl Diaries was on it. And each of the songs was a response to another piece of work. And sometimes that was fiction, as with George. And other times I took existing songs, such as Bruce Springsteen's Atlantic City, and responded to that. And in this case, the Rolling Stones' Sympathy for the Devil. Because I thought it was fascinating that the song is not, in fact, very sympathetic. It's actually quite a dark portrait of the devil. And I thought it would be interesting to try to write a song where, again, we're talking about that liminal space where you could almost believe that this guy was not bad or that he was trying to convince you. So in the song, the devil is trying to convince the listener that, in fact, hell is the current world and that God is saving the heaven for himself. But that the devil is here amongst us, suffering with us, which in some ways has a historical precedent, right? You know, Satan was originally sent down to earth as a prosecutor with Job, as I recall. Anyway, I won't get into my long theological discussion, but that's what I was trying to package up, compress in this song.
Let's listen.
This is the farthest thing from heaven. Look around, you'll see it's true. This is the farthest thing from heaven. We're alive like me. We're alive like me and you.
And that was your response to the Rolling Stones' Sympathy for the Devil. Ben Arthur, still talking to me here about your wonderful project. This is all about writing response songs, and it is from your podcast, Songwriter, but you're also a filmmaker.
Yes, Songcraft Presents is a television program where, not unrelated, where essentially I'll sit down with a songwriter and we'll write and record a song in the course of a day, usually in response to a place where we are. So, for example, the most recent episode was based in Macon, Georgia, and the songwriter Dom Flemons of the Carolina Chocolate Drops and I explored the life of Emmett Miller. Emmett Miller was known as the father of country music. Fascinatingly, he was the first person who used that sort of weird glottal voice break thing, that thing, in a song to convey emotion. There had been people who had done it, sort of Tyrolean sort of yodeling, but he was the first person to take that and use it as a way of saying, I'm so upset, my voice is cracking, and that's how you know I'm upset. And what's wild about it is the newspapers wrote about it at the time, but it was a fascinating new way of using the voice. They called him the clarinet-voiced singer and the break blues voice singer. Anyway, so we explored his life and wrote a song about his complicated history because he was also a blackface artist, and he was one of the many artists in the U.S. who worked in blackface, which can be understood both as a super racist thing, but also as a cross-cultural fascination. African Americans worked in blackface sometimes too, which doesn't make it any less racist, but sort of hints at some of the complexity. Anyway, Dom Flemons, who's African-American, and I wrote a song in response to Emmett Miller's complicated past. And it was just a joy, and played it live at Capricorn Studios, where the Allman Brothers recorded and all that sort of thing there.
And you're an author, too.
I am. I've tried to write occasionally, but I feel like it's a little like George, his songwriting. It's always a bit hesitant because I'm out of my element, but it's a lot of fun to try to work on it. My last book was called If You Look for My Heart, and again, was sort of this cross-fascination, cross-hybridization, where it's both an album and a book. So if you bought it as an ebook, as you flip through your, you know, iPad or your Kindle, there are the songs actually embedded in there, and they relate to the story that I tell in the book.
That's so wonderful.
It's
you
fun.
Know, I'm finding more and more authors now are sort of, they often tell me about what they're listening to while they're writing and how that influences them.
Yes.
And then some do go that extra step where they put it up as a SoundCloud channel, and you can listen to it, which is so wonderful. It really gives you an insight into the mind of the people that are writing the books.
It does, and it's such a fascinating thing to find how people use music. For example, Gary Steingart, when I interviewed him for the podcast, he said that he always listens to music, but he's very careful not to listen to music with comprehensible lyrics. So he'll tend to listen to Kraftwerk or something like that, that, you know, he's not going to start writing about a robot or whatever. But he uses that in the background to sort of propel him forward.
Yeah. It's so interesting, isn't it? I know Elif Shafak, the Turkish writer, listens to heavy metal.
No kidding.
When she writes.
Wow.
Which is extraordinary, isn't it?
It's,
you just wouldn't think that at all. And another really great collaboration is Polly Sampson, who is a writer. Now, she's married to David Gilmore. And they have just announced that her book is called A Theatre for Dreamers, and it's about being in Hydra, the Greek island in the 1960s. And he's written, because she writes lyrics for him anyway, so he's written a load of music to go with it. And I think they're doing the big tour of this wonderful thing where she kind of reads from the book and then you hear all this music. And it's just so wonderful to see these two art forms come together in a way that really works, doesn't it?
That's extraordinary. I should ask them to be on the podcast.
You absolutely should. You absolutely should. So tell me who's coming up. What can we listen to on your podcast?
So the first season has all sorts of wonderful people, as you mentioned, Gary Steingart and Jonathan Lethem and Kurt Anderson and Patricia Lockwood and Joyce Carol Oates and Roxane Gay. The next season, which I'm editing right now, includes folks like Sarah Jaffe, a wonderful Texas songwriter. Joyce Carol Oates did another show with me just recently in New York, which was great fun, and that'll be... Steve Martin came to the show, which was very surprising and shocking. He's a big fan, not of me, of Joyce Carol Oates. Joyce Carol Oates and Louisa Young, a British writer, Malachy McCourt, Frank McCourt's brother, tells a breathtaking story about his father and losing his father, and the sort of long process of losing his father. And Louise Cairn writes a response song for that. This fascinating unfolding process of hearing how people do their thing. This is one of the things that I love about this process, is I get to actually see sort of the inner workings of people I admire reacting, like in real time, seeing them sort of engage with something that I love, you know, whatever the storyteller is, and then how they then create their art. It's sort of an instruction booklet, very personalized instruction booklet, it feels like to me.
Well, thank you for revealing to us how you make your art. Ben Arthur, that was absolutely fascinating.
Thank you so much for having me on. It was a fascinating conversation.
Do check out Ben's podcast. It's called Songwriter. You've been listening to Monocle Reads. Thanks to the production team of Nora Hull and Louis Allen. I'm Georgina Godwin. Thank you for listening.